Welcome to Designing for the Greater Good, a health and safety in design podcast series developed and presented by the Canterbury Safety Charter and the Professional Services Working Group. My name is Paul Duggan, and I will be leading you through a series of interviews with leading professionals in the industry answering the following questions. What is health and safety by design? How can it be used? What are the costs and the benefits? And why have you not heard about it? Tune in to find out, is good design designing for the greater good? Today I'm here with Fiona Short, and we're going to talk about a huge topic, which is sustainability. So first, Fiona, if you could introduce yourself and tell us all what you do.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me here. So my name is Fiona Short, and I'm an architect at Warren Amani Architects. I also lead the sustainability side of the business and design practice. And I'm here to talk about sustainability and its relationship to health and safety in design.
Fantastic. Tell me, Fiona, what does health and safety mean to you personally?
To me personally, I think it means creating places that are not only safe and usable to everyone, but that are actually comfortable, enjoyable, and that promote wellness.
And what do you feel about the design process? What is the purpose of design, and what does it achieve?
So having a really clear understanding of the design process is really important to achieving the best outcome. To me, the most important thing that I think we can really be thinking about is how we can make our design process more integrated. So all the different people and parts to that process, how can we get them to be more aligned so that we can more smoothly and with greater efficiency achieve the goals we set out to at the start?
Yeah, a key theme we're finding right through this series is the idea of collaboration as the best way to produce a good outcome. And that's backed up what you say. Is that what you experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I always kind of like to use the analogy of paddling in the same direction because I think with a project, having a clear vision for that project and then knowing what each individual's role in achieving that project, that's the only way. We can all be paddling in that same direction to achieve that goal. We don't want to be going around in circles.
In terms of, you think of health and safety in a box over here and design in a box over there, how do those two things, I don't want to call them processes or attitudes, whatever, meld together?
I think it comes back to that we're all here for the best outcome of this project, and they're both really important pieces, but really finding where they overlap. And I think that comes back to values and responsibility of everyone involved in the project. I think they're both just good elements to a project, and we need to kind of take our responsibilities as consultants seriously in achieving those.
So, Fiona, the architects operate very much at the front end of a project with the client primarily. How practical and how easy is it to get the end users of that building in the room at the same time? Does that work?
It's a very good point to make, Paul. I think where we have the most potential for impact is where we do exactly that. So making an effort to kind of connect that front end work with the outcomes of the building, not just the building itself. So what I like to talk about a lot is this kind of circular design process, which starts with speaking to the client and the end users and workshopping at the front end to really clearly have on the page what those outcomes should be and how is that part of the brief in terms of quantitative information, but also qualitative. What do you want it to be like?
Fantastic. So now the big word, sustainability. What does sustainability mean to Warren and Marnie?
So sustainability to us is really about bringing the best out of every project, trying to achieve the greatest potential. Sustainability is a wide-reaching subject, and we like to talk about occupant well-being, thriving communities, and protecting the natural environment as the kind of breadth of sustainability. Right now, there's a big focus on the climate and carbon. We're in a climate emergency, so carbon has become very topical right now. But we are balancing that with some of those more tactile end-user outcomes which relate to well-being, you know, a safe environment, and also places that help communities thrive.
How do you build a building with less carbon? I mean, not talking about the carbon in the building, but you've got to make concrete, you've got to make steel, all these things that are traditional building tools, I guess, are heavy carbon users. What do you do to reduce your carbon footprint as an architect?
Yeah, so the first thing that we need to communicate when we're kind of talking about that to a client is kind of breaking it down. So we have the operational carbon of a building, which is the energy use over its lifetime, which in a typical New Zealand kind of commercial building accounts for around 70%.
Wow.
And the rest is largely the embodied carbon, which is the carbon that it takes to produce those building materials and construct the building or replace the materials throughout its lifetime. And so we need to look at reducing both those elements. In New Zealand, we're very lucky to have a high percentage of renewable energy, but our buildings still are predominantly weighted towards the operation when it comes to carbon emissions.
The 70-30 split, obviously, bang for your buck is to focus on that 70%. And the fact that
we
produce a lot of renewables seems to be the area that, we can have the most effect in.
Absolutely. So it's actually not a far reach for us to say that every building could be carbon zero in operation.
Wow.
Which is a pretty great place to be starting from, right?
Yes, absolutely. So Fiona, for an architectural firm like Warren & Marnie, what are your sustainability drivers?
So our main driver is helping our clients achieve the best outcome for their occupants, themselves as a business, and for their communities and everything that that affects. So we have a client, we have a budget, and we have a brief, and our job is to kind of work with consultants to make sure that we achieve the best we possibly can within that budget. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means having the discussions around OPEX versus CAPEX and whose budget does this come out of. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of all discussions that you need to have with the client at the very front end to really figure out how we're going to make this happen.
I mean, I guess this is a tension point that a client has a certain, you know, need and budget, and you have a vision of how you want it to be in terms of sustainability, and I guess that can sort of butt heads at times. Are you seeing your clients become more flexible over time with regard to sustainability?
I mean, what I'd like to see is kind of a shift in focus rather than kind of cost versus sustainability, is really coming back to what are the real drivers for this project? What does this client value? And if it's the most cost-effective building, that's great. If it's a healthy place for their tenants to occupy, that's great. If it's the least carbon emissions, then that's also good. But having that really clear idea at the start then makes it a lot easier to prioritise different things. Mm-hmm. In every project, there'll always be a budget, and there's 100,000 different things you can spend money on. So if you don't have a clear understanding of what's important to the client, that's where you come into these discussions later in the design process around, you know, real value and value engineering.
I guess looking outside at architects, and the aesthetic argument always comes in that you want to create works of art, essentially. You want to make a statement, you know, on the landscape like any other artist, I guess, does. Does that create a tension with sustainability?
That's an interesting one, Paul. I personally have a kind of an uncomfortableness, I guess, with that idea, because I think a building that works well is beautiful, and that's what we should be, you know, judging and valuing something by.
What I think I'm hearing from you is the notion that all these things, all these what you may think of competing elements, to you seem like they all fit together nicely, that you create a jigsaw puzzle out of all of these things that other people might not be able to put together. But your aim is actually, no, I can make them fit together. Is that something that...
Absolutely. I think finding where they kind of cross over and where that has value for the client is where we need to be looking. And I think sometimes we need to try a lot harder to find where they do overlap, mm-hmm. and where there is value for the whole project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do we link then health and safety by design and sustainability?
So health and safety by design and sustainability both have very similar roles throughout a design process. The earlier you address them both, the easier it is to deliver a really good outcome at the end for the least cost. And so really building that into your design process every step of the way, from briefing through design reviews and every design meeting is really important to actually achieving what you've set out to achieve at the start.
And so the idea of collaboration at this point, absolutely critical. The idea that you can show to a client, you know, having a healthy and safe and sustainable building makes economic sense over the long term.
Absolutely. I think often we need to kind of have those collaborative meetings before we put pen to paper and really value those discussions within the design team and the client up front in the design process.
So tell me about the promises that Warren and Marnie have made for 2030.
Yeah, so Warren and Marnie have made some pretty big goals or commitments at the end of last year. For the last 12 years, we've been carbon zero certified, and we've actually, in that time, we've achieved a 40% reduction in intensity carbon emissions. And our goal for our business is to kind of walk the talk and look at reducing that by a further 50% over the next 10 years. And for design, which is actually where we can have our greatest impact as, you know, professionals as part of the building and construction industry, our goal, along with our clients and along with the industry, we can't achieve this on our own, obviously, is to for all buildings to be carbon zero in operation by 2030, and for those buildings to be 50% more energy efficient, and for them also to have 40% less embodied carbon in their upfront construction emissions.
How does technology play into all this in the design process? I mean, we talk about the rate of change of technology. What technologies are coming over the horizon that you can see would make those goals more achievable?
So technology is absolutely vital to us, not only achieving those goals, but actually measuring our progress along the way and being able to demonstrate what we're actually doing. The hard thing about reducing carbon is that you're reducing something you can't see, which isn't a very sexy idea. It's really hard to kind of sell the narrative on that. And so having data to back up what we're talking about, whether that's embodied carbon and materials or whether that's operational emissions over a building's lifetime, but being able to demonstrate that on a piece of paper and convert amounts of carbon to things that people really can relate to, like trees or cars off the road, is really important to actually us being successful in not only our commitments and goals, but much wider in terms of climate responsive kind of design.
Yeah, I guess the car is the unit I guess most people are familiar with and comfortable with and understand from a pollution point of view, and the move towards electric vehicles one. And interesting enough, what did you drive up in today?
I came here today in a full electric vehicle, which we use as part of a car share program in Christchurch. We're actually one of the founding companies that help bring YouGo, now known as Zilch, to Christchurch. So a great scheme, and I recommend everyone to get amongst it. It's too easy to ignore.
Yeah, definitely walking the talk. What's your vision for sustainability 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now?
So I think hopefully we're going to see a bit of a wave and then for things to become kind of normalised. And so I think the first thing that I really hope to see is that low carbon architecture becomes something we're all really proud of and want. You know, it actually becomes desirable for companies to have a building that they're proud of that's low carbon in operation and in its construction, and that's something they really want to talk about and share with others. And then as we'll kind of see that excitement eventually kind of wear off when it becomes normal is where is actually most exciting for me, is when that becomes just business as usual.
Yeah, in the health and safety field, we talk about that a lot, that's just normal practice. It's not additional, something that's an add-on. It's just the way it's done. And I think to get to that point is really something to aim for. The question I ask everybody at this point is, if you had a magic wand and could wave it across your industry, what changes would you make?
I think for me, it would be putting far greater value on that early part of the design process, getting everyone together in the same room and really deciding what is going to be the outcome of this project. What does the best outcome for this project actually look like? And then devise a plan to get there through the design process and not just kind of hope that you get there higgledy-piggledy or by accident along the way, but actually to do it really directly and kind of face it head on.
So more of a values proposition rather than I want to build a building.
Absolutely. We need values to align with data and measurable outcomes, and then we're really on our way to, you know, a much better future.
Fantastic. Hey, Fiona, it's been great talking with you. Thank you for sharing all the work that you and Warren Marnie are doing, and all the best in the future.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Paul. Cheers.
You have been listening to Designing for the Greater Good, a health and safety in design podcast developed and presented by the Canterbury Safety Charter and the Professional Services Working Group. This is Paul Duggan signing off. Tune in again next time as we answer the question, is good design designing for the greater good?